IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is 24 minutes past four. It's a little earlier than usual, but because it's the first time this year, and I know he's on the line, Professor Barry Schuber, fantastic to have you back with us this afternoon. I thought you went MIA.
Thanks very much, Simon. Thanks for that lovely welcome back again. It's great to be back again. I hope you had a good break.
No, I do.
A break for me.
No, listen, it was very special. We're all easing back into it. But, Prof, I would imagine, you know, just all things aside for a moment, I would imagine you have had a very trying, very difficult last couple of weeks, what with being on the ministerial committee, et cetera.
It's a challenging job, I must say. It's a challenging task. Some of the interviews are quite challenging, like hard talk and so on. But, you know, it's got to be done. It's got to be done.
No, and I noticed that. And I noticed that the press is, you know, they are not worrying about people's feelings. They're saying what they think. I saw an article in the Daily Maverick about the vaccines. They really are giving people quite a hard time. Maybe that's what's required. I don't know. But one thing's for sure, whatever decision you make, you can't keep everybody happy.
Can't keep everybody happy. No, I think it's pretty, I think it's good. I think it's good keeping people on their toe. I think it's good being critical. And I think it's giving an opportunity to kind of answer something and defend. Because, you know, unfortunately there's such a lot of misinformation and non-information, and, you know, people are concerned justifiably. And I think they're asking good questions. I think people are worried. They're worried about the vaccine. They're worried about the virus. And I think it's up to us to kind of give the answers. So I think challenges are very good, and I actually welcome them.
Welcome, man. No, it's good to hear.
Yeah, I'm certainly not unhappy about being challenged. I think that's why they kind of asked me to be in this position. But as long as we can defend what we're doing, and obviously it's not always right, and there's always a lot of criticism. And of course, it's always wise to, you know, one of my revered teachers told me the most accurate diagnostic instrument is the retrospectoscope, the one where you can look back on and say, oh, why didn't we do that? Oh, why didn't we do that? That's the one thing. The other thing is that really doesn't help to blame. You know, it's actually interesting. One of my colleagues, in fact, Professor Karim, so I must attribute to him, Slim Karim, yeah. He said, you know, it's interesting. You know, when you have a crisis like the COVID crisis, it causes three things. You know, population are anxious. The people are anxious. They're nervous. They want answers. They want to clutch onto something. So you have three consequences. The one consequence is that you have conspiracy theories, because conspiracy theories kind of give you a sort of a kind of a saying to hang on to. Even if they wear out, even if they're science fiction, conspiracy theories abound. That's the one thing. The second thing are the miracle cures. You know, hydroxychloroquine, the malaria drug, in the first wave. The second wave, it's ivermectin. And so the vaccine, there's a misapprehension that as the vaccine comes, we'll switch off the epidemic. It hasn't happened in Israel. It hasn't happened in the United Kingdom. It's going to take a bit of while. In the meantime, we've still got to, unfortunately, do all those other infection prevention things. And the third thing that happens is the blame game. Because if you blame somebody or something, it also gives you a sense of comfort. So your conspiracy theories, miracle drugs, and blame, those are the consequences of when society is under stress. And they're under stress now because of the COVID epidemic. We don't have all the answers.
What a fascinating insight, Prof. I was wondering why so many sane people, or people I consider to be so sane, are just buying into this conspiracy theory stuff. But I reckon you've explained this now. You touched on something else that I find absolutely fascinating, and is the data that's coming out of Israel. I think the Times of Israel reported yesterday that some of the vaccines proving only to be 50% effective. I don't know. I know this wasn't on the agenda. I know we've strayed completely from the topic today, but let's just go with the flow. And what is your take on the findings coming out of Israel? Have we lost you, Prof? Yeah, gone absolutely dead on my side. I don't even know if the studio can hear me. Yes, they can. Okay, well, that was a huge shame because I was... Are you there, Prof?
I didn't disappear. Have you got me?
I do now. I was asking you, Prof, about your take on the data coming out of Israel.
Yeah, Simon, I was going to say, I haven't seen that data. I'm wondering what they're really kind of talking about. Unless they're talking about the variant virus, because that's caused a lot of kind of a lot of media publicity. You know, is the vaccine effective against the variant? And I'm not sure if that's what they're referring to. But of course, the variant hasn't really been extensive in Israel. It's a big worry. Yeah, of course, I can talk about it next week if you think you'd be interested into it.
No, I definitely think I'd be interested. And I'd also be fascinated to delve into the differences between the three vaccines on the market, Prof, as to, you know, how they work. And if you were made to choose which one you would take, which one would you in fact take? But, yeah, we didn't have technology on our side this afternoon. Professor Shubh, it's 4:30. We're going to leave it there. Thank you for being back with us, and I look forward to a whole week with you next week.
Great. Thanks, Simon. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Prof.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.